This is Sir Brian of the Realms of Trinity. Oh, yeah!
Yes, Sir Brian here from the Realms of Trinity.
Hello, this is Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity, also known as the Chancellor of MSN, and also known as BSB 5256.
It's Brian here from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwhere Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Sir Brian from the Neverwhere Nights podcast.
And this is Rowan, a.k.a. R4 Claws, from the Neverwhere Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
This is Aaron, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, Justin here, DM from the Realms of Trinity and a member of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Thomas from Neverending Night.
Hi, it's a Witch King from the Persistence World, The Rise of Sauron. I'm just been invited by Brian to be part of this podcast.
Hey, Zeus here from the Realms of Trinity.
This is Travis, creator of the Dark Tide.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast. You're listening to the 150th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, we got a heck of an episode here tonight. This is our 150th episode, so we're going to get into some news, and we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight going over the last 50 episodes that we have done and Jay and Trey have done. And then we're going to get into some bloopers that we have hornswoggled through from our previous episodes. And there's some really good ones there. And we got some great guests on the show. We got the Witch King, Travis Richards, and Tom Logue. So we got a full house here, full boat. So we're going to be having a good time. Let's get into the news, though. I've got some good stuff here. First thing we want to talk about is in the Neverwinter Nights 2 arena, we have the Neverwinter Nights podcast has been hosting a Neverwinter Nights 2 creature contest. And the first go at it didn't result in any submissions, but since we had extended the deadline and got some more press on it, it's exploding. We already got 5 submissions in the last week, and I hope we can get some more because these are some great stuff. So without further ado, Jason, you want to get into some of the details of some of them?
Sure. The first one that we have here is a mutant model that's pretty crazy looking. He has a huge eyeball for a head, and it's pretty neat looking model. It's on the vault, so you can check it out up there. Then the next one is a Shadow Beast, and this is a pretty good looking one too, actually by the same guy. They're all out there on the vault. If you want to check that out, by Justin.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Trying to figure out how to say this guy's name.
Well, this would fall into one of the bloopers that's coming up. I'll just prelude to that. We have a good blooper coming up talking about names and by Ben, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Keep that in mind as you read this name once you look at our show notes. But another one I was looking at was the Halloween player faces. That was kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Right in time for Halloween, too.
Yep. So if you're doing some kind of special event or whatever for Halloween, this would be a perfect thing for it. If you get it in your server, and you know, it'd be great to have some NPCs with some custom looks like that. What's that Vrock model? There's another one here called Vrock model by this, also the same individual.
Yeah, and it looks like he has two different ones: one with wings and one without.
Sort of a demonic platypus with the winged version.
Yeah, kind of looks. It looks really cool. Everybody, I hope that you're checking out these submissions on the vaults, and if you've got a Neverwinter Nights 2 server and it fits your lore, some of these mobs are very good and definitely worth downloading.
Yeah, and then the last one on the Arctic Troll, which is a pretty good looking version of the troll in for Arctic setting.
Yeah, it will kind of funny, I think, with a big old hairy green troll in the middle of the frozen tundra, you know. I guess somebody could make the case that he was teleported there, but you know that I think that'd be stretching it.
But they look pretty good, so
yeah,
get out there and check them out.
And Witch King, you got some updates about your server?
Yes, right now we made a player wipe, which is not necessarily appreciated from the players back in July, But the reason we did that is for all the updates we and all the announcement we made that we discussed in one of the podcasts. We had a slow start, but now players seems to really appreciate what we did. And all changes were made in the preparation of the upcoming War of the Ring. Just to mention or repeat that TRS is about the campaign of the Lord of the Ring. So for all the people who really enjoy Middle-Earth settings, so we are about to begin the campaign of the War of the Ring, starting in 3017. So for that, any players who wish to be part of that adventures is welcome to join our server. Things will start in November. So if you want to get a feel of the server, I think it's the time now to come and get a feel and get ready for the upcoming campaigns.
Really cool, man. Yeah, I've been watching your stuff. I mean, you've been talking over. You really did a great job and all this stuff. So if anybody out there is still playing Neverwinter Nights 2, you know, definitely check it out. The Rise of Sauron server is badass. And if you're any fan of any fantasy, not just Lord of the Rings, I think it's definitely worth checking out. Very well detailed and very immersive. How about the Dark Tide? You got any updates, Travis?
Oh, yeah. We have a few. Just recently, the first episode has been released, so now we have the prologue and the episode one released. As for the episode one, it just recently came out. It's about 7 minutes long. It features, I guess, you see four of the character, like of the main characters, the main crew in that, as well as featuring music from both myself and Christopher Escalante, the person who plays the leader. We're actually now looking if anybody has any recommendations for custom content that could be used to liven up the series, and it's kind of a call for submission sort of idea. If somebody wants to suggest something that might make everything look better from custom content, feel free to get on our forums and check it out, and please tell us. I guess they're at darktide.co is the website.
I have watched your episode. It's fantastic. I mean, just as I would have expected from watching the trailers and stuff for it. it's top-notch stuff. I'm really glad you guys are doing that, and it's definitely great to see that continue on a series like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess I also forgot. The YouTube channel is up and official now. It's running. It's youtube.com/darktidemachinima. And it's got several of the soundtracks on there, as well as a line compilation from several episodes that have been released and are to be released.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, you got to love YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Promotion. Free.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Speaking of which, it's a good segue into this. From the Realms of Trinity, we have just released the closing chapter of our second campaign, Chapter 7, and it's been a long, long road to hoe. We spent many months working on it. It's been really, really challenging, some of the stuff we tried to pull off, and we were successful, and it was fantastic. Just great and relieving to get it finally off the shelf. We just kind of wrapped up the project. Jason handed me over the last of the drops just yesterday, and we're just glad to get that off the books. Speaking of YouTube, we finally put out our campaign finale. Actually, it's going to be the Realms of Trinity finale video that goes over. You know, we put nice video together for everybody who won the plea to Chapter 7 in the game and wants to see what happened after the story's over with. And actually, it's set up into our next installment, which is Realms of Trinity 3, which is that's a project that's on the books, but depending on player participation, will depend on if we actually start it or do it. But it's something we'll talk about in future episodes, depending on if and when we actually start. We were planning on starting sometime after Christmas, so, and looking at a build time for about maybe 5 months for the first three chapters. So it's definitely something that we'd like to do, but depending on the Neverwinter Nights 2 participation we've been seeing, I'm not exactly sure it's going to be a worthwhile adventure. So, but definitely want to get it out there that, you know, we have the big plans and the big picture for a third campaign. But, you know, as I said before, depending on the demand for it, we'll do it or not. So anything else, guys, before we close up the news section?
I would just add that the Realms of Trinity YouTube videos are major spoilers. So if you haven't completed it yet, I recommend getting on, completing it, and then watching the video.
Correct. Correct. They really get into detail what happens and everything. That's just the campaign finale. We have a trailer out there that just is the lead into the second campaign, but actually is a trailer. I kind of worked it in so that it would be a trailer for Realms of Trinity 1 and 2 so that we wouldn't have two separate trailers to get people involved, because it would be a little confusing, you know. Since everything's sequentially put on the server, it's not two separate servers, so, you know, it's definitely something to keep in mind. But the only spoiler issues are stuff that are they're actually the finale video, which is in the description of the video as well. Well, with that, let's get into the show review. Okay, we're going to get into episode review. We're going to look over the last 50 episodes that the Neverwinter Nights podcast has produced and just go over what was covered and may talk about anything that we want to that stands out. Episode 101, interview of Obsidian Shore, and it was a good interview. It's never where good versus evil isn't so black and white, and the host covered the server in detail and got into some good notes. Very interesting. Also, they were talking about the Ossian Studios and how they set up their new forms and everything. So looking down through here a little bit more is they had the 2000 on episode 103. Guys covered the 2008 NWN1 Golden Dragon finalists. There's another cool one here too. Is episode 105 the NWN2 Icewind Dale. Pretty interesting. Astrakhan and Dave went over that and they interviewed the team over there. It was an actual player module. It looks pretty good. It got Hall of Fame and everything, so that was a cool interview too. Here's an interesting one. They had episode 109 at a Girl Gamer Roundtable. And it was broken up into two parts, episode 109 and 111. And it's where they had a bunch of female gamers and talking about Neverwinter Nights and how they enjoy it and stuff like that. Because if you look at the demographics, you will see that it's mostly not female that play Neverwinter Nights at all. So that was kind of interesting to set up something like that. Episode 110 was yours truly. It was the Realms of Trinity's debut episode where us guys got on the show. And Kalma, it was called Karma. So, which he did not appreciate, but as you would have heard in episode 122 when we came back. But yeah, it was really good. Episode 117 is the first episode where we covered Never Ending Nights with Tom Logue, and that was a good episode. If you want a good laugh, that was he always classic.
And I was also there.
Oh, you were on that one too.
Yep.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, anything you want? Any back thoughts about that episode or about the interview? Winner?
It was. It seems like it was so long ago that I can actually barely even remember any of it. I remember talking on Skype, but that's about the most of it.
Yeah. Good times. Good memories.
That was great. I loved it.
Hey, you're doing better than me. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Yeah. These episodes. It's been a while since these episodes were out. I think this was 2009. Our first episode was 2009.
Yeah, it's shown October 23rd for 117 of 09.
Yep. And then 119 was you again, Travis, about your music with Astrakhan.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yep. I remember listening to that one, too. It was actually really cool because he was playing some of your fantastic works. And that's how I found about your music, as a matter of fact. Listen to that episode. And then it got propagated to the Realms of Trinity.
I mean, as long as it's getting used, I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, it's certainly. Well, as a matter of fact, in our campaign finale video, I used it. It was definitely very well used and liked. It worked out perfect.
Sweet.
Episode 122 was Realms of Trinity Revisited. That was our return episode. 123 and 124 was called The Good, Bad, and Ugly of Persistent Worlds. And it covered Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent Worlds. Kalma and myself joined the group of developers and persistent world runners that actually were talking about it. And we had really come with a lot of good stuff about just things that do's and don'ts of persistent worlds and things, you know, just about how players' reactions are to certain things. Because between all of us and everybody else that was on the episode, Spool 32 is one that comes to mind, you know, from Avalis. There's a lot to be learned from all the experience having run a persistent world. And I think you can chime in there too, right, Witch King?
No, yes, it's quite a task for sure.
Yeah, it's always one of those things. I know that when we started, you know, you think you know stuff from playing servers, but then once you actually create something and you run this big monstrosity of whatever you've made, it's like, you know, you get in there dealing with the players on a regular basis and you start really realizing, you know, what people really go for in mass, not just what you like. It's about what you can do to make everybody, or at least you can never do everybody, but the fact that you can get as many people on, you know, as you possibly can, that's the kind of stuff you learn whenever you run a persistent world.
I think you have to keep your vision and go toward that, because if I think the players can give you an idea of what they want, but at the end of the day, if you want to be honest with yourself and your desire to create the persistent world, I think you need to still follow your main guideline that made you decide to do the world.
Yeah, you're right, and that's something that we have done too. I mean, we call it the vision, so to speak, you know, and that's where we go in and when we develop our stuff, and same, I'm sure you do the exact same thing, is that you have the vision of what that product's going to be at the end of the day. And that's what makes your stuff unique and individualized. Because there's a ton of actual persistent worlds and things out there for people to play. But bottom line is that's what gives you your unicity for your server, your product. And I'm sure it holds true, too, with single-player modules. If anybody out here has played single-player modules, each one's going to have their own flavor or the way they set things up. And that's the beauty of Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. It gives you the ability to set things up the way you want them to be set up. Because a lot of times there's more than one way of doing something, as we find out all the time. You know, we do something one for the first part of something and say, hey, you know, there's a better way of doing this. So then we end up doing it a different way. And that's one beautiful part about having a tool set or set of tools, so to speak. It gives you the ability to make these types of creations that you can come to script or whatever. So that's the one thing that I'll say too. Episode 127 was an excellent episode. That was the one where Skunk Keen interviewed Gail Gygax, the wife of Gary Gygax, right after his death, where she set up a fund where they were going to build a memorial for him. And really cool. And then I believe they were accepting donations for a long time for it.
Yeah, they're still taking donations. They do have land that has now been given to them officially. I believe they're still collecting donations to finish the actual tribute area.
Nice. Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, that's a heck of an initiative. And I mean, obviously Mr. Gygax definitely did a fantastic job creating the Dungeons and Dragons, and you know, one of the many people who were part of it, but he was definitely the father of it. And it's great to have somebody of his stature being honored for this genre, because typically you don't see stuff like that. 128 was Arenthor, A New Age. That was a nice episode talking about their Neverwinter Nights 2 product. And it was there's a bunch of other stuff that was on this episode too. There was also the Academy of Modding Excellence finalists were announced for 2009 Dragon Award. And Gonfalgrim was announced. This was the book that was going to precede the new Neverwinter project that is coming out from Cryptic in 2012 now. So, which we'll get into shortly when we get to those episodes. Episode 131, we have the Kingdom of Winterhaven. This is one of the first episodes that we had did the interview of Dell over from the King of Winterhaven whenever we were doing a hybrid show where Jay and Trey would do the news segments and we would do the interviews in most cases. That was a great interview. Zell's a really cool dude, and he runs a tight ship over there at the Kingdom of Winterhaven. Also great in Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World. 132 was Desaria 2. That was an excellent episode where they had talked about their custom system that allows people to build their own areas and things like real time, like to fill in their own areas with their stuff like that and build their own guilds and things like pretty much live. That was a really cool system that they developed over there. And they also run a long-standing and excellent Winter Nights 2 server. Episode 133, Legacy Dark Age of Britain. Classic example of a custom Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world that is totally outside the box. They basically created a persistent world that was based in the Dark Age of real-world Brit and dramatically changed the core mechanics of the game to only allow like certain classes, certain races, and and spells were totally removed, like not totally removed, but changed dramatically to be like more natural, very well-detailed world. Episode 134, we got together and did an NWN2 toolset tutorial. I believe it was Ben, myself, and Kama.
Yep.
Yep. And that's when we got one of our great bloopers of Aron talking about his tool and
tool set.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, but as you will hear in the blooper, it was truncated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was truncated. Episode 135, we had a great episode with Gavin, aka Six of Thrice. This is the first episode of our Neverwinter Nights Legend series, where we gathered some of the top long-standing content producers for Neverwinter Nights 1. Gavin does a lot of work with the Neverwinter Nights 1 system where he creates tile sets, models, all kind of stuff. It's used all over the place. And, you know, I definitely urge anybody who runs a Neverwinter Nights 1 Persistent World module creator or anything that uses Neverwinter Nights 1 content to check out his content, his tile sets, because they are very detailed and he spends a lot of time making them look awesome. Episode 136, we interviewed Shockwolf from Wolverheim. It's a smaller server, excellent build. I know Shockwolf nowadays is looking to convert his Persistent World into a single-player module, so I'd be looking for that in the upcoming months. Episode 137, we got the Known Lands, another great Persistent World from Neverwinter Nights 1. 138, we interviewed Cadron, creator of the Cadron PRC pack for Neverwinter Nights 2, where he gave us all his updates on his latest release at that time. It's been a little while since we interviewed him, but he's put out another release since then, and plus tons of bug fixes and different things like that. He's added a ton of content for character and class progression for Neverwinter Nights 2 engine. 139 was Baldacaron, another classic example of a Neverwinter Nights Legends creator. He's created a bunch of different stuff, and he created a really cool module, and definitely want to check that out too if you're like Neverwinter Nights 2 modules. See here, episode 140, we talk about the Realms of Trinity 2, wrapping up with the campaign. This is, we were getting into the last three chapters. Nothing more needs said on that. We got into that plenty. Episode 141, Neverending Night series with Tom Logue and music by Travis Richards. Did you do any, hey, Travis, did you do any voice acting for that?
For that episode?
No, for the Neverending Night series.
Oh, yeah, I did a little bit. I was more of a background actor. I actually played the role of Grayson and Peter's father, as well as a bard in the beginning of season 3.
Awesome.
So there's something to look back into and explore.
Yes, definitely. Episode 142 was the World of Ania, another Persistent World we interviewed. Another great one. 143 was Bubba Thud, Neverwinter Nights 1 module producer, Hall of Fame. Definitely classic module developer. He's developed a ton of content. Episode 144 was the episode where we all went out to Columbus, Ohio and went to the Origins Game Fair. And we had a heck of a time. We interviewed Shane Hensley from Cryptic. He was the executive producer of Neverwinter. He has now since moved on. And where's he at now, Ben?
According to his Wikipedia and other internet sources, he's now CEO of Pinnacle Entertainment.
Definitely a very talented individual who has great vision in gaming. I know from our conversation we had with Shane, he just really was laying it out on how he wanted to set up Neverwinter. It was definitely fantastic. And definitely, I hope that the new executive producer and the new game owners of Cryptic definitely follow what they had started and they were working on. Ben, well, you were there, so any other wrap-ups for that episode and we were out in Columbus?
Well, I definitely say, I mean, that by far still, I would argue, is one of our better episodes. Shane was one heck of a guy to interview, and, you know, we also got a little bit in the third YouTube video into some of the art mechanics of the people who actually go to these cons and the groups that advertise and similar there. So I definitely say that's definitely a good one to go revisit.
Definitely. When we went out to Columbus, that was definitely a really cool episode. We had a blast out there. Something else too, I don't know if we had mentioned in our actual episode or not, but guys at Origin at their press booth gave us actual media passes, and we were able to go all over the place with that thing. So the night before, there we are all milling about the place, getting into anywhere we wanted to go, see any game, any special event or whatever. That was really cool.
If I knew you guys were in Columbus, I would have come and visited. I'm in Cincinnati.
Oh, crap. Well, yeah, that's a shame. Well, we're going next year, so we'll make sure to keep. I already told Tom. Tom's definitely looking to book the flight. We'll definitely let you know ahead of time when we come out.
Sweet.
Excellent.
Well, now, actually, next year I might not be around here. Depending on where I go to grad school. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you go to University of Pittsburgh, and then this week will be right next to us.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
Yeah, we can actually help you with the Dark Tide then. there you go. But yeah, that stands out. Definitely the media pass was cool. Oh, there is one thing. We were supposed to do in that episode, and this is like kind of the behind-the-scenes thing, but in that episode we were going to go do a live action role play, a LARP session, and have it recorded and whatnot, and actually, you know, broadcast on YouTube inside of our actual podcast. The reason why we wanted to do it is because they actually had a whole like dungeon set up at Origin, and you could actually go through with these like foam weapons and stuff, and they had all these rules and stuff. It was kind of cool, and Ben was just itching to hit somebody with a foam sword too.
Actually, the plan was for us, the second we got our weapons, to whack you with them.
As
a sign of respect, of course.
Yeah, of course. So anyhow, yeah, we were going to do that, but the guy that was running it basically boned us, and he disappeared on us, so we just said heck with it. We didn't have time after the interview. We were there pretty late that night, so it would have been nice, but didn't have the time to do it. In episode 145, we interviewed the Witch King from the Third Age, Rise of Sauron. Gave us a great background information on his server and updates, and we came up with his new rollout. Do you have anything else there, Witch King, you want to add to that?
Was a good experience for me, as not being being a French as a first language, so was quite nervous. But you made things went smoothly, so. It was nice. It brings us a bunch of players in the following weeks, of the post the podcast.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, and I'm glad to make the interview as smooth as possible. We are the X-Lax interviewers.
That's a title we'll let you keep for yourself.
We'll call ourselves Metabusel. But yeah, no, I'm glad, and I'm glad we were able to do that. Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that you got some players come up. Definitely you did a great job on your Persistent World. And a lot of people, I still get emails now and again from people like, well, you run the podcast, and I don't understand. Like, I expected you to be biased or whatever, since you run your own Persistent World. And I was like, well, I said defeats the purpose. I said, we all work together. I was like, that's the way the community is supposed to work. I think for the longest time in Neverwinter Nights 2, a lot of game runners, world runners, had an adversarial view of each other. Not sharing content, ideas, not sharing stuff. I mean, there's some individuals that would put stuff on the vault and things. But there was a lot of, I wouldn't call it necessarily animosity, but certainly a level of competition there that was, I don't know if I want to call it unhealthy. But certainly, definitely not an air of openness, which I think would have helped the community, especially with getting through a lot of tool set problems and headaches. I think everybody that's worked in Neverwinter Nights 2 has definitely had their share of headaches. Justin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, especially in the first year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can say that everyone who made I think I mentioned that in the podcast, but it was still repeated because it worked. Everyone who has worked in a tool set and have worked trying to make a persistent world works prior to the auto downloader, it has been quite a challenge. First, to do the actual persistent world, but also to get players playing to it, to try to get the casual players that were a long time living in with one players, to have these guys come and play on the Blade 2, I think that has been a huge challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely is. I mean, I think the current challenges that we face as persistent world runners and content creators right now is a lot of it has to come down with maintaining player base. With all the trouble that's been going on with Neverwinter Nights, well, not just Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2, for instance, it's both of them, but the BioWare community server being down, it's been really frustrating for players to log in now, especially unless they put their host file hack in to bypass the login server. That turns a lot of people off, and unless you're a diehard or a Neverwinter Nights player and you know about Neverwinter Nights, you're not going to necessarily be apt to doing that, because I know that people want easy stuff, and I don't know. If you don't already understand the system, it's going to be very frustrating and probably is going to cause you not to want to play it. And I personally have seen a big degradation in the number of players out there so since this has all went down. So definitely something to keep an eye on. 146, we have The Higher Ground. Neverwinter Nights 1 Persistent World, another fantastic. They're Hall of Fame, definitely good. Check them out. And we also got in a bunch of – it was interesting. It was a week where there was a lot of activity on the IGN Vault. It was at the end of August. Definitely there was a lot of cool stuff, new models, modules, game rules and stuff. So definitely a treasure trove episode. It had a lot of new content displayed. 147 was Genesis 2. This was a very interesting interview. It's a Neverwinter Nights 1 Persistent World that we found and wanted to get him on the show because they got into a lot of very similar to Legacy Dark Age of Britain, where it was brought more into the real world. This was actually like you actually create your family, you start out as like two people, and then you, your generations of your family keep going on. And this is a persistent world yet, so definitely very cool in the way it works and how it's all structured. Definitely original. I don't think I've ever seen any Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 persistent world have set up like this, and that heavily scripted and modified. You know, everything from custom classes, races, I mean, it's from the bottom to the top, and then have that level of scripting and setup. I really think this is a very original build. So definitely, if you're playing Neverwinter Nights 1, you've never played it, definitely, hopefully you can get some time. I know time is hard to play all these different products, but this, if you're looking for something definitely specific and unique, this is definitely a product that you want to check out. In episode 148, we interviewed Travis A. Richards from the Dark Top and Christopher Escalante. It was a fantastic interview. I don't need to say too much more about that. Unless you got something to your recollections of the episode a couple weeks ago?
I'm not recollecting very well at all. So,
well, it was a very good interview. I will say that.
Well, thank you. I mean, wait, he interviewed, not.
It was a good interview. Yeah, I actually, the one thing about when we actually get to interview non-game related, you know, products that use Neverwinter Nights 1 or things like that, it just, I really like the fact that you're able to do what you're able to do with the tool set, because it just goes to show, and I think that hopefully the game creators of this generation of games that's coming out now and hopefully in the near future realize that creating games that are this, I don't know how to say it, configurable and give this many options to do stuff allows this level of creativity like you're able to do with the Dark Tide. And that's just something that I hope that everybody that's listened to this podcast and is a current game creator definitely keeps up on. Because I think that's what if you want a long-standing product that's going to go down in the history books, if that's the kind of product that's going
to
do it.
Well, yeah, I actually want to, one of the main aspects, I want to actually get custom content out there actually as kind of a video. I mean, we see a lot of screenshots and stuff, but an actual live view of a lot of this custom content could be very refreshing, and I'm hoping that it might even help to bring people back into Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, definitely, because you're actually, that's something you brought up in your interview that stuck with me a lot, was the fact that in a lot of ways you're able to showcase that content like it's never been showcased before.
Well, yeah, that's why I keep asking people just to, I mean, there's that community page on Facebook, and I ask around on the BioWare social forums, I mean, any custom content that could, you know, visually stimulate the show and actually show it off. I mean, I'm all for, you know, showing it off.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So there's our tip. If you want to get some exposure to what you created, there's a way to do it.
Just make sure you keep the recording going while you do that.
So what you've been putting out there on Neverwinter's community page is fantastic. And I that's another thing, too. You know, we don't really talk about it. I actually would like to talk about it now, even, is the fact that anybody out there who is in the Neverwinter Nights community, whether you're a developer, content creator, or even a player, there is a group on Facebook that's been put together, keeping us all together and talking about stuff at all Neverwinter. And I think it's really cool. It's the Neverwinter Nights community page. I think it's just Neverwinter community page, right? Yeah. It's Neverwinter community page.
All right. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I just looked at it. It's Neverwinter community page. And definitely check that out. Ask to be added to the group if you want to be a part of it. It's really cool. And I'm on there all the time checking out what the other people are talking about, throwing my two cents in or whatever, helping out wherever possible. There's also one for scripters, too, for if you're a Neverwinter developer. Not just scripters, but the content creators, period. And that one is pretty cool, too. There's getting to be a pretty big number of different module developers and content creators that are going on there as well. So the community is far from dead, and definitely Neverwinter Nights 2 might be getting close to being dead, but the Neverwinter 1 is still certainly going strong, and there's a lot of people still coming up with new and exciting stuff. So definitely for custom content, that is. And we have episode 149. This is where we interviewed Stephen Nolan from the Aelin Saga. He is a Neverwinter Nights 1 module creator. He actually created a whole series of modules. This is our very last episode we recorded. And he has also actually wrote a novel based on his work, and it's fantastic. I mean, he actually published an actual fantasy roleplay type book, like your classic Driss Duerden stuff. You know, I mean, this is a real deal. He sells it on
Kindle.
Yeah, he sells it on the Kindle, and I read some of it myself. It's very well written, very well read. And he really was able to transform his module into a book and a whole novel series. And he plans on rolling out more novels as it goes on. So his module series is immense. I would say it's probably equivalent to probably the whole Neverwinter Nights 1 game itself, like the standard campaign stuff. So it definitely very, very long-standing developer, developed for about 7 to 9 years. I mean, it's just been ridiculous how much work he's done. He's a fantastic guy. We had him on last week. He's just great. Definitely check his stuff out. Very well done, very well written. And because they're single-player modules, you know, you can play them at your own pace, come and go in, play a little bit, move on, you know, type of thing like that, which is really cool. And that covers the episodes.
Yeah, now we're here.
Right, yeah, I was going to say. And then for episode 150.
Yes, Brian talks about the last 50 episodes in very shallow manner.
Starting with episode 101, which is where we begin talking about.
And,
there you
and
go. Actually, you can make that the never-ending link right there.
Yes, yes. But and one last note, in episode 132 is where the official torch was passed from the original Neverwinter Nights podcast creators and to us with Jay and Trey. We, you know, I still want to putting our thanks out for having a passing the torch to us and trusting their brand to us and being able to produce these community podcasts for everybody to listen to. I hope we did a good job. I, you know, to try to give you the best quality we can, get the best coverage and get as many people on the show as we possibly can. And we got episodes coming from here on out. I already have them queued up about several more. So, but yeah, one special thanks to Jay and Trey for handing us the podcast and us being able to continue the longstanding tradition.
Definitely.
So over the last 50 episodes, there's been some great classic bloopers that get edited out of our show. We're going to focus on the ones that we personally recorded from episode 132 all the way to episode 149. I segregated about 15 clips out. We're going to go ahead and play some of these and crack up. So there's some really good ones in here, and hope you enjoy them.
Josh? Well, sorry.
There it is. There's the awkward pause. We always get one awkward pause somewhere. Normally it's a Rowan, but...
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're my hero, too.
You're my hero. Yeah, there's no animosity between me and a Rowan, just in case anybody's listening.
Yeah, not at all. The one thing I would like to add to that is... people have no idea how many awkward pauses we have because we are doing this digitally, so you can't see if someone's about to say something. So, you know, that's definitely a good starting one because I know Brian's probably cut out about 50 hours of awkward pauses.
Probably.
Rowan?
Awkward pauses too. Yeah. I know. It's my secondary profession. I should charge for this type of entertainment.
It's hard to not laugh while they're playing.
I'm Ben, aka... Oops, sorry. Sorry. This is why we do two recordings.
Yeah, you see that? That's wisdom. Wisdom 25.
Wow.
I will hold to this day that it is a skill in itself to forget what your name is.
Yeah. I'm gonna mute myself because I can't stop laughing. Go ahead. Well, you know, it's funny too about that one there is that if I always say something kind of off the wall, mind blowing type, Rowan always has to go, "Wow." I always get the wow, no matter what it is.
Okay, you're first, dude.
Oh, is this me?
Yeah.
I was waiting for a question to be asked.
Don't worry, you're not the first person to do that.
Okay, so what do I do? I just tell you the name.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Stephen L. Nold, a.k.a. Savant, from creator of the Alien Saga, I guess. How does that? That sounds stupid, actually.
You go, I guess. It's like, well, I hope you created it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that when he goes, I was creator of the Alien Saga, I guess. And I was like, so here I am looking at my invitation. Did I get the right guy?
Yeah, this is Joe from down the street. I guess he didn't write this.
It's only been 9 years. So I've only developed this product 9 years, I guess.
Okay, started. All right, Rung, start up.
This is Goober of the Neverwinter Nights 2 podcast. Had to do it.
Jackass.
Justin is here. Oh, you're going to redo it?
Okay.
Well, I was going to do an actual...
Oh, I thought you wanted to be Goober today. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, that's Brian's title.
Friendship. In this next one, I got to at least give us a preface. This was a classic. But this is a perfect example of when you take something out of context of how great something can turn into from a seemingly harmless comment or discussion about something.
Seriously, did you just pick shitty names for...
No. I can't help but people.
You got Chucker Eno, Damn Pigeon, Megalolysis.
Hey, these are a my faulty, you know, pickies and names.
At least we're having fun.
And the next one is probably the best example.
I still say, in my defense, those were three of the hardest to pronounce names we have ever had on this series.
What's shaking, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
Oh, hey, glad. Well, you got here just in time, as a matter of fact, because we got some bloopers coming up with you.
So, oh, good.
This will be great. And just to preface, people listen to this podcast, as I said previously about seemingly harmless comments taking out of context, listen to this one.
You should choose how big your tool is and how fast it's going to react when you click and drag over an area. Obviously, 100, it's going to shoot up. 0, it's going to move slowly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You can find that in episode 134. talking about the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set. Normally a very harmless and PG topic, but Rowan knows how to shoot his tool up to 100.
Nothing is ever safe.
No.
It's over 9,000. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. All right. And, go ahead, Steve, with the next one.
Oh, I thought you were going to finish the last part of that.
Edit. Edit. That'd be a good blooper, whatever. I thought you were going to finish that. No, no. Okay, we're... Oh, okay, I'm a tool. Okay,
okay, I'm a tool.
Weren't we just talking about tools?
Yes. Yes, we were. This next one's pretty good, too. We were joking, Kama's late for recording.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Kama can't be here tonight because he's in prison for something involving a chicken.
Oh, dear.
Now, how did that go?
Yeah.
That's probably about as much context as we want to give that one.
Yeah, there is a backstory to that. We'll save that for the blooper reel.
I don't want to know anything about any backstory.
Or my eulogy.
All right, Kazee, play the next one.
Wow. So, get in game and level up.
Wow. What is that? Well, you know, we'll you jumped the gun on me there. Hold on. I'll do the show closing, so hang on. So anyhow,
edit that.
Yeah, don't worry, that'll be edited out. At least I have an alternate rendition of it, so if I need to throw it on the end, if your next rendition is not quite as spontaneous and or boisterous.
We seem to be losing you.
It just to preface that one, we were just finishing out the episode, and you know, I was like, you know, I typed it ahead of time before he was done talking, and I said, you know, this is the closing line. We were like right in the middle of talking about, we were right in the middle of talking about something, and he goes, "Get in game, level up."
Which again, as Brian pointed out, this is all in good fun, but there is some stuff that, you know, just we found hilarious, you know, either in or out of context.
Yep, there definitely is. And now this is one where, you know, as much as you try to talk right, sometimes you just don't.
like that.
Yeah, just like that. I won't edit that out. So go ahead and see, play this one. And you're listening to the 141.
141.
Yay, we
start. Whatever.
We done enunciate here.
Yeah, and Rowan had to obviously put the dig in there, you know. We smart, you know. Yeah, that one's kind of stuck with me. Every time I do an episode, I always make sure I got the number right in my head this time. So I don't want to do 141th again.
So next time it's going to be 151th.
I should probably do that for all purpose. That'd be great. This is a classic. I got to preface this one too. We were talking about names of either modules or their creators that they use for their names. There's one we were dying on. This is one Jaston was doing. So go ahead, play this clip.
The next one is The Halls of the Ham Hock, which is missing two votes. It have more, but it's not kosher.
I had to really hold that one back. So go ahead.
Sorry.
Again, I apologize. It's really difficult to not laugh.
I can't tell how much laughing's coming from the original recording or from now.
It's both. That was also the episode where you could become a fairy godmother if you beat the.
Oh Lord.
I should have kept that. That was a good one.
You need to splice that in here.
Yeah, I'll have to probably splice that one in. It was great because it's like you can become a fairy godmother. And Abed just stops right in the middle of the episode. He goes. And why the fuck would I want to become a fairy godmother? At what point would I load Neverwinter Nights module and say, I can't wait till I'm a fairy godmother?
Now, is that a PRC or a...
No, it was a module, but I had a good, like, 5-minute rant on that because literally it was one of those days where, you know, we were kind of rushed setting up. So Brian just goes, here, Ben, here's your news section. So I'm literally reading it as I'm reading it out loud. So I get to the end and I'm trying to give it this big fancy sounding intro, you know, and then you can become and get ready to go out into the real world and become a tooth fairy. What the?
I mean, it was perfect because he didn't read ahead. He was just, he'd never read it before, just went right into it. And that was the drop right at the end.
Of tier avoiders, and now need to fulfill a mission where you spread the teachings you acquired in countless lessons, and all that just to be prepared for your great destiny, becoming a fairy godmother. Dear God, why?
Well, that's quite interesting, Aron. You know, if you're a player out there and you want to become a fairy godmother, this is the module for you. And you know,
I'm so pretty.
And I apologize to the content creator. We are not by all berating your content production.
No, it was just completely unexpected to find out that the end of the module was to become a tooth fairy.
It's the whole thing with context. You're reading it like super serious, and then you get to that last line, and it's
exactly
a fairy.
Right. I thought it was like to go out and kill the guy who destroyed the world or something. And yeah, it was
something
to be a
tooth meaningful
fairy.
And revengeful. Not
well,
to be
hey, you know, somebody might want to be a tooth fairy.
This is true.
I'm sure he made the module, so, you know, at least he probably does. I mean, it's, you know, I'm just saying.
We're going downhill again.
Sorry.
We should probably, yeah. Moving along now.
Moving along.
Now that we have a new fan.
Yes. Here's another classic line.
Oh, it's a lot easier than getting a sheep to stand at the edge of a cliff.
Another comma-ism. Short and sweet. He was talking about trying to do a 3D model for Neverwinter Nights too.
You can always count on him for something way out in left field.
I think I'm moving before this post.
And this last one. It's great that you're here, Thomas.
Oh, I already know where this is going. Does this have to be with an intro?
Yes, it is.
I knew it.
Go ahead, Z. You have the honors.
I don't do an intro, right?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I do too? Oh, hey. Hey. Sorry, I was like, wait, it got really quiet. Sorry.
This is an awkward pause of the Neverwhere Nights 2 podcast.
So, want you to do it now, or are we doing it?
Yeah, no, dude.
Hey, this is Thomas from Never Ending Nights.
That yeah. was great. I'm so glad I showed up for that. Just in time. Oh, man.
Now, how many of these bloopers were from intros?
Well, like we had talked before, the awkward pause comes out of nowhere sometimes. It snatches you. Snatches you up.
Well, the other thing, too, is it seems extremely simple, but it's not. I mean, you'd think, oh, yeah, my name's Ben. Hi, nice to meet you would be something simple to do, but somehow it gets complicated.
Somehow it just seems easier to do rocket science.
It does.
Or get a sheep to the edge of a cliff, as Kyle would say.
You know, I forget who we were interviewing. This is one that I wish I actually had cut out, but we were in the middle of an interview, and this guy lived right next to a train track.
Oh!
You remember that? And we were talking. And
it was the same guy with the R2-D2 phone.
Yeah. Yes.
Sounds like there's a couple of stories here.
Yeah, actually, yes. And
I'm going to start looking for that one.
I forget what episode that was now, but it was great. And it was, so we were talking all serious. You talk, okay, and what do you got coming up for next, you know, your next rollout or, you know, whatever. He's going into all this stuff. He takes like this one break. He's trying to think about what he's going to say. And all you hear, I mean, it was loud.
And you hear like crap shaking in the walls. And but yeah, then like 15 minutes later, he gets a phone call, and his phone ringtone is R2-D2. So you just hear beep, 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 beep. And we're all like, what is that? Oh, it's my phone. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, it was good. Well, you know, here's the other part of disrupting about the train. Because I, you know, obviously, busy finger, you know, I'm sitting there typing it into the messenger window. I'm like, here comes the choo-choo.
And we're all cracked up. He must have lived in the train station. I mean, that thing started going by every 15 minutes.
And, you know, so we're all cracking up. But, you know, we're typing it into the messenger windows. You can't hear that, obviously. And it was just, we're sitting there dying, muted. So it was one of them classics. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else we ever come across in the last 18 or 19 episodes? I don't think that's about it, really.
Well, aside from every other word that comes out of Comma's mouth.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could do a whole Comma section.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what happens. Well, hey, Thomas, you know, before we close out, you know, since we didn't get to catch you on your on news segment, do you have any updates about the Never Ending Night series you want to share before we close out?
Actually, no, just still working on that last episode. I was just doing the final epilogue thing, and then it'll probably be done in like a week, and that'll be it. No more.
That's the end of a legacy there.
Since 2004. Dear.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's a long time.
Well, congratulations, though, in some respects. I mean, you completed a major work of art there, and, you know, I got many laughs off of watching your episodes, and all your content, as a matter of fact. I crack my ass up. Hell, your Facebook post killed me. One of my favorites, I know this is off topic, but it's worth mentioning. One of my favorites is a picture of you and somebody else putting an air conditioner in a window. And and you're like standing there. There's this big gap on the side. You're like, I don't care. And I was in tears when I see that. You know, those are some examples of out of characters we deal with here at the Nerds podcast. Quality. And, you know, something else, too. You went to the, was it Comic Con?
Dragon Con. I went to Dragon Con this year.
Yeah, I tell you what, that a lot of good pictures you got from that. What was your thoughts about that while you were there?
So, the thing is, so, like, I've gone to Comic-Con for, like, ever in a year since it's here in San Diego, and it's just gotten to the point where, like, Comic-Con has pretty much turned into Hollywood-Con. So, I was really interested in going to Dragon-Con because I heard it was pretty much the opposite of Comic-Con, and seriously, it was incredible. So, like, at Comic-Con, you get, like, maybe 20% of the people dress up, and 80% are in normal clothes, At Dragon Con, it's the other way around. It's 80% dress up and 20% are in normal clothes. And everyone's there just having a really good time.
Yeah, it looked like it from the pictures you got. It looks like there was a lot of cool stuff there.
That was the thing at Dragon Con. Like, you know, everyone says, like, there's no attractive, geeky women. Go to Dragon Con and you will be proven wrong. There are some incredibly beautiful women. And not booth babes. You know, these are just regular people who go to the con and they're dressed up as various things, you know, like Black Widow and stuff like that with the tight leather. You know, people dressed up as She-Ra. And they look good.
No attractive geeky women. What are you talking about? I'm marrying one.
You are, and I already commented on your Facebook that I don't even think you two are real. Between the two, how attractive are. It's stupid.
Yeah, we're actually custom content.
That is, I would believe it, too. And for Neverwinter Nights 3, because you're way better looking than Neverwinter Nights 2.
Oh,
thanks.
And there comes the nerd cred.
Yeah, exactly. Like, have you seen the picture of Travis and his fiance? Because if you haven't, you should, and you won't believe that they're real people.
I'm totally fake.
Well, don't worry.
I love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I would say I love you too, but then Travis won't make any music for me, so.
Well, we'll leave that for another episode. Follow up. Well, I'll tell you what. Since this is a special episode, when we do the closing, we'll do it on three. We'll all do it at once. So I'd love to hear how this comes out, too.
Oh, I was going to say we're going to screw this up.
Getting game. Level up.
Yep.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.